We're going to start a brand new sermon series this week, leading up to and the week after, probably Christmas. And there's something about Christmas that I think is important to realize. And we celebrate it, and we decorate trees, and we decorate our homes, and we decorate our church, and we read the Christmas story, and we do all that stuff. And sometimes I think it's just common that we do it. That's why we do it. It's just something we do every year, so we just do it. But did you realize the very first Christmas was no accident? Did you realize that? And maybe you do realize that, but maybe you're like me and you never really thought of it in that way. The very first Christmas was no accident. So we're going to look at different aspects of the Christmas story through the lens of the not-so-accidental Christmas, because there was no accident involved in Jesus coming and the way he came and every player around that. And so we're going to spend the next few weeks on that thought, and it's not really an Advent journey, but it is. If you don't understand what the candles and stuff are, I forgot the word candle the other day in a staff meeting. Candle must not be a good word for me. Remember, I was holding it up. I was like, what am I holding? Oh, yeah, candle. Even if you don't understand the candles, Advent, it's just Advent. It's just a celebration. And every week we will light one more of these candles. And then on Christmas Eve morning, during our morning service, we're going to have a special service that morning, and we'll light the white candle, which is the Jesus candle, signifying that Christmas is here. And it's just a way for us to recognize what we are waiting on and what we are anticipating coming. Did you know that the Jews anticipated Jesus coming, the Messiah coming, for hundreds and hundreds of years? And he's come. And so we celebrate that. And that's what the Advent candles and the Advent wreath represent for us. That's why we do that. But it was no accident that Jesus came, that he came like he did, that the people that were around him were around him like they were. There was no accident in that. And hopefully we'll see from week to week that all this was part of God's plan. I hope you already know that, but even not, I hope we understand it's all part of God's plan. But then the better challenge on that is that not only that we understand that Christmas was not accidental, that it was all part of God's plan, but the challenge is to believe the same thing about the plan that God has for our lives, that there is no accidents that happen in our life. God has it all planned out. Everything leading up to the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was all planned out. There was no happenstance, no fluke, no coincidence. God was in control of everything that went on for Jesus to come here to this earth as a baby. Even if it seemed negative at times, and if you look back in Scripture and you look back in history, it did seem negative at times. But everything was under God's control for this event to happen. And it's the same with our life. Even in the negative times, God has got everything working together for his plan to be accomplished in our life. And if God planned out and had control of the birth of a baby boy in a small town in Israel to a seemingly insignificant couple, and God had power and control over all of that, then that means God is also in control and is sovereign in our lives too. A weird verse to read this morning, maybe for a Christmas sermon or leading to Christmas sermon, is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But here's what it says. When the time came to completion, or maybe even a better translation would be at just the right time or just the perfect time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. What can we learn from the birth story? What can we glean from the story of the God of the universe sending his son in human form, God in human form, as his son to the earth? And had it all planned out, how can that shape our life too? That's what I want us to get out of this morning. That's what I want us to get out of just about every sermon that we'll go through, just about every scripture we'll go through over these next few weeks. But the first thing I think we have to realize is at the very beginning of those verses is this, is that God planned out the timing. We've kind of already talked about that. I kind of already said it. But it's important to know God planned out the timing of the birth of His Son. It says, when the time came to completion, that means that there was working up to a specific point in history or a specific time, and that time was completed, now there's a son. It's not a lot different than when a mother has a baby. Kelly probably thought that time of completion would have happened sooner than what it did. I remember the last of both of Lindsay's pregnancies, and she was like, "Man, I just wish this little sucker would come." But there's a time of completion, right? I mean, there's a time God had planned out for that baby to enter this world, and it was no different for a human birth than it was for the birth of God's Son. You ever wonder why, though, that Jesus came when He did? Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about the timing of it? What made the timing of Jesus' birth right? Because if you think back, if we know He came to save and came to change the world, then what about when sin entered the Garden of Eden? Why didn't He come then? Why didn't He come when the world was so bad and God had to destroy the world with a flood and Noah and his family were left? Why didn't He come when Moses was trying to lead His people out of captivity in Egypt and having a hard time doing that, and then leading them through the wilderness and then being hard-headed? Why didn't Jesus just come then and fix everything? What about when Abraham took off and was told just to go, and I'll show you the place you're going to go to? Why didn't Jesus come and lead him there to do that? I don't know. But you think even of the present time of when this happened, maybe it was because of the rule of the Romans in that area. And that would make sense, because the Romans invented something that nobody else had invented before, but biblical prophecy had prophesied about hundreds of years before, which was crucifixion, being pierced. It says in Isaiah that He was pierced for our sins. They'd never done that before. They had never crucified anybody before. So maybe God was waiting to fulfill that prophecy for the Romans to come into rule and to invent crucifixion so that they could have their time. Maybe it was because of the other biblical prophecies that were said about Jesus that made the time right. We can what if all day, and we can maybe all day, but the more important thing about God's timing is this, is that there was a right time, and God had it from the very beginning. There was a right time for Jesus to come, and God had that from the very beginning. God had a plan for His Son. He had a perfect plan. He had perfect timing. Again, nothing happens by chance. Not the coming of Jesus, and nothing happens by chance for God's people either. Not for me, not for you. Nothing happens just by chance. You think back to things that have happened in your life and you wonder why did this have to happen here? Why were Lindsay and I in a place that we really loved, and we loved the people and we loved the town, and we thought we'd be there a long time, and 18 months later, God moved us. Why did that happen? And you can question the timing of God, but when you understand that God's timing is always perfect and nothing happens by chance, you can better understand that it's not about us, the timing of God. It's not about us. It's all about Him. It's all about what He wants to do. It's all about what He's trying to accomplish. We might not understand God's timing, but we can be sure that He has it planned out perfectly for His good and for our good and for His glory. God planned out the timing. The second thing we know, and we know from this scripture, is that God planned out the right person, the exact right person. When the time came to completion, God sent His Son born of a woman. And we know that the woman's name was Mary. We know she was young, a young lady. We know she wasn't yet fully married yet. She was in the engagement process of their tradition back then. But you look at that and you say, well, but why Mary? What made Mary so special? Why did God pick her out of all the other women in all the other villages and all the other places with all the other husbands and in all the other times? Why Mary? And Mary thought that of herself. You can read that in Scripture. Mary really thought that. She didn't really understand. Maybe it was because she was a virgin. You know, it was prophesied that it would be a virgin, that this baby would be born of a virgin. Maybe that's why Mary was chosen. But then you look at that and you go, but that was the tradition of the day. There were a lot of young ladies. An overwhelming majority of young ladies were virgins at her age. They had not yet been with a man. They had not yet been married. They qualified in that area. So why Mary? What made Mary so special? Well, maybe she was because she was in the family line of David, because it prophesied that you would have to be in the family line of David in order to, that's where Jesus, that's where the Messiah was going to come from. But you forget that when they went to Bethlehem, when Jesus was born, everybody there pretty much was in the family line of David. That was David's city. So all of David's relatives all went there to be registered. That's why they were there. So there were tons of other young ladies who met the qualifications of being in the line of David. Doesn't seem like there's much special about Mary, but God's plan was to use Mary for the birth of His Son. Truth is, God's chosen you too. God has chosen you too. And you say, Justin, He's chosen me, but what for? I don't have any idea. But I know He's chosen you. I know that doesn't give you much hope. I can't help you with that. I don't know what He's chosen you for. He's chosen you for what is in front of you right now. That's what He's chosen you for. Exactly what is in front of you right now. He's chosen you for that. You are part of God's great plan. God's great plan is to save. That's why He sent Jesus, was to save the world. That all who would believe in Him would not die, but would have everlasting life. That's God's great plan. And you and I are also a part of that great plan. He has chosen you to be a part of that great plan. Maybe we think we're nothing special. Maybe you and I think there's a lot of other people like us, a lot of other people better than us. Maybe you're like Mary and you think, well, I'm too young. I don't have any experience. I don't know what to do. Maybe you have all those thoughts like Mary did. Listen, you don't have to be some dynamic, crazy, gifted, special in the eyes of the world person to be used by God. You only have to be available. And if you're breathing, you're available. And then on top of being available, you have to be obedient to be used by God. Now, all of us are halfway there at least. We're all available. All of us are available. We're here this morning. We're alive. Hopefully you're here because you want to be closer to Jesus, so at least you got that little bit going for you. But you have to be obedient. When He calls you, when He picks you out, when He chooses you, you just have to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever it is, I'll do it. Yes, I'll follow you. If it means having a baby for you, I'll have a baby for you. Yes, I'll do it. If it means talking to my neighbor about you, Jesus, I'll do that. If it means taking this other job, I'll do that. If it means leading my family well, I'll do that. If it means being more involved in my church, I'll do that. But God has chosen you to be part of His great, awesome plan. You just have to be obedient. Listen, God's already great. You don't have to be great. You just have to be here and you have to be obedient. It's all God wants. You're exactly the right person for the job that God has put in front of you. It's you. You're the person. Don't look for anybody else. You're exactly the right person for the job God has put in front of you. Third thing that we know from this, that we can glean from this, is that God, in His perfect plan, picking out the perfect person, sending His Son to be born, knew there were going to be limitations. And He didn't care. God didn't give a rip that there were going to be limitations. He said, I'm going to send my Son, limitations and all, and He's still going to accomplish my purpose. That makes me feel pretty good because I've got some limitations. I've got a bunch of limitations. And He sent Jesus to this earth with those same limitations, some of them, not the sin limitation, but every other limitation He sent Jesus to this earth with and still used Him for His plan. It says, when the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. That meant that he was 100% human. That means that everything that you and I deal with, he deals with. That's what born under the law means, if you want to be real simple about it. It just means that he's just like us. God knew there were going to be limitations to Jesus, and he sent him anyway. And God knows there's going to be limitations for us, and he planned those out as well, and he wants to use us the same. God being born under the law meant he had to do everything you and I do. I don't know if you know this or not. Jesus wasn't born as a 20-year-old man with facial hair and long and flowing black hair, smarter than everybody else, better looking than everybody else, with all these skills and things that he has just miraculously had. He didn't just appear like that. That would have been weird, him laying in a manger and the wise men coming a couple years later and giving him presents. And they're like, this guy's 22 years old. What are we doing here with these presents? That would have been weird, right? It was a baby in a manger. At least we get that part right when we put the manger out. By the way, if you've got wise men in your manger scene, you need to move them away a little bit because they weren't there yet, okay? There's my one plea of the year. But we get the baby part right. He was a baby, and you know what that means? He was a baby. It means he had limitations. That means he had to learn to talk. Jesus did. His first word wasn't anthropomorphism or eschatology or hermeneutics or propitiation. Those were not his first words. Jesus' first word might have been mama or daddy. Have you ever thought about that? That hit me this week. Jesus had to learn to talk. They celebrated, Mary and Joseph, whenever he said their first words. He might have said mama, and Mary said, ah, ha, 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 look what he said. Slayton, I think, said mama on, or said daddy on Father's Day. No, on Mother's Day, and he said mama for the first time on Father's Day. He was weird. But Jesus had to learn to say those words. He had to learn to talk. He had to grow in wisdom and in stature. It says that in Scripture that he did that. He had to learn to walk. Jesus, the God of the universe that came as a baby in a manger, had to learn to walk. He fell and he skinned his knee and he bumped his head on stuff. He had to be potty trained. Think of all the things, all the limitations that Jesus had on him, just that humanity put on him. It's us. It's us. It's the same limitations. Although he didn't sin, he had the same limitations. But then the Jewish tradition put limitations on him. He was born into Jewish tradition. He followed all the laws, all the religious laws he had. He had to deal with religious people who would question everything that he did because it was a little bit different. And those people ultimately put him on a cross. The infinite, all-powerful God of the universe took on the limitations of his creation to come down here to earth. He became like us to identify with us, but he was without sin. And you and I have limitations today in all kinds of forms, but God perfectly has those perfectly planned out for us. You're saying, God limits me? God made my back hurt so he can limit me? Absolutely. He's got a plan for that. He's got a plan for your hurt back. He's got a plan for your bad knees. He's got a plan for your loose cannon of a mouth. He's got a plan for you not being able to think of the word candle in weird times. He's got a plan for that. All the limitations we have, Jesus has a plan for that. Even the limitations that he doesn't wish for us, the limitations that sin, that our poor choices of sin have brought on us, he still uses those in his plan. I've got a good friend I've told you about before at a church I was at before and still good friends with him. About 20, 25 years ago, made some bad choices, was involved in a single car drunk driving accident. Broke his back, been in a wheelchair ever since. That guy could do anything you and I can do except get up and run. No joke. He can operate machinery. He can do anything. I mean, he gets it out, drives his own vehicles, doesn't use the hand things. He uses a stick to push the gas and the brake. That'll make you safe. I'm not even going to tell you where you live, so you won't be scared when you go there. But this dude's awesome. But you know, when I realized that God even had that, and I think he already knew God was using him, and was using that, even the poor choice he made, even the sinful choice that he made, God was going to use that for God's glory. Because whenever I was at this church, we had a deacon who was leaving work one day, and a semi rear-ended him, broke his back. He was in Louisville. They said he was going to be paralyzed. He is paralyzed today. And my buddy called me, and he said, "Are you going to go up to see Neil?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to go up, say Tuesday. I'm going to go up, yeah, Tuesday." And he said, "Well, I'm going to go with you." He said, I think I can encourage him some." And I was like, "There you go. There you go." 20 years after a bad decision, here he is using that for God's glory. He's going to encourage him. He's going to help him. He's going to be there for him. He's going to show up and say, "Look, it's been 20 years for me, and look, God's still using me, and he's not done with me." So, and I think that's gone a long way in what he's done. But God even uses that. God will even use the bad decisions you've made if you'll let him for his glory. Whatever you face, Jesus understands it. And he can still use you no matter what limitations you might think you have. Our limitations are nothing in God's plan for us. Nothing. It's nothing. And then the last and probably the most important thing about this story, the last thing we can understand about God's planning of all this is at the very end of, in the second verse, I mean in the fifth verse, that God sticks to his plan. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. To redeem those under the law. To save those. To change hearts. To change minds. To forgive people. To save them. To give them a brand new heart. That's what he's trying to do. And guess what? Here it is 2,000 years later, and that plan has not changed. God stuck to his plan. The plan that he had for you and me started 2,000 years ago. He's not left that plan. Because if you're saved in here today, guess what? You're part of that plan. He stuck with it. You're important enough. In 2,000 years, you were important enough for Jesus to come to be born in a manger, to start the plan of redemption for God's people. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, guess what? You're still important enough because you're here today. You're hearing God's word. You're still important enough today for Jesus to have come 2,000 years ago, born in a manger, to redeem God's people, to save you this morning, to offer you forgiveness today. He stuck to that plan. God's actions over the history of time have never been reckless. They've never been without purpose. They've never been haphazard. God didn't just send Jesus to go, "Okay, I'm going to send my son. Let's just see what happens. What can hurt? I'll bring you back up to heaven if things get crazy. Let's just see what happens." No, he had a plan for it. And you and I are a part of that plan. God sent Jesus because he knew what the outcome would be. He knew the outcome would be that he would be ridiculed, he would be beaten, he would be killed, but he'd rise and he'd save people because, this is not on the screen, but Luke 19, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That's still part of his plan today. You and I are a representative of that plan, to seek and to save the lost. God's plan was always to seek and to save the lost. His plan was always to rescue lost people. Maybe you're here today and you wonder if God's plan is still the same for you. I know, Justin, there's people that are saved in here, but I just don't know what God's plan is for me today. Maybe you're here and you don't feel like God's in control of your life anymore. Maybe it's decisions you've made, or maybe it's just a distance that's put you and God apart. Maybe you think, "Well, God doesn't have my best interest in mind, or God's not controlling this, or God's not in control anymore. God's plan kind of went out the window." Maybe you wonder, because of the stuff you've done and the circumstances you find yourself in, how you could ever be a part of God's plan. I can promise you that God's still on that plan today.
promise you that he still plans to save you today. Jesus came as a baby in a manger to a seemingly insignificant couple in a town, small town, so that you could be saved today. That plan is still in the works. And he also came so not only you would be saved, but you could take that same message to the world. He wants to use you. He expects to use you as part of his grand plan to save the world. Started with Jesus in a manger. And it's currently with you and me today, that plan is. God's plan for Jesus coming was perfect. Perfect timing. It was the perfect person. Perfect limitations on him. There was a perfect purpose involved. And if he did that for Jesus, if he did that 2,000 years ago and it was all perfect, you know he can work things out in your life today too. You know he can use you as part of his plan today too, because he's been doing it all through history. How are you going to let him use you today? How is being part of God's plan going to affect your life today and tomorrow and the next day? Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you thought you'd have. Maybe you just never turned your life over to him. Maybe that's why you don't feel part of God's plan. Maybe that's why you struggle to get things together. Maybe that's why you don't understand how God could use you, because you're not following him. Do you need to follow Jesus today? Do you need to turn your life over to him today so that then he can use you as part of his plan? You're still in his plan whether you follow him or not. You're still part of his plan because he came to save you. Let him save you today. Let him start a new life in you today. Let him use you now as part of his great plan. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, Jesus, for kind of a strange spot in Scripture to start a Christmas series, but Lord, I thank you for the words of Paul in Galatians that remind us who you are and that your plan was perfect. Every part of your plan has been perfect, and it still is perfect today. And you use imperfect people to carry out your perfect plan. We thank you for that. Jesus, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning. That somebody in here today that doesn't know you would turn their life over to you today, Jesus. And they might not fully understand you, Jesus. They might not fully understand how you could use them as part of your plan with all that they've done or how they've ran from you so much. But Jesus, you do. And you can. And you want to use us as part of your perfect plan. So Lord, whether we're saved and need to be challenged in being used in your perfect plan, and maybe just need to rest in the fact that everything we do and everything that goes on is all part of your plan. You have it all planned out. Even the wrongs that we do, Lord, you can use them for your glory. Maybe we need to rest in that. Or maybe, Jesus, maybe we need to let that challenge us and the Holy Spirit speaking to us this morning. Maybe we need to let that save us today. Lord, help us to turn our lives towards you. We ask it all in your name. Amen.